يعني المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين سيما على بقية الناية الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فلا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم إلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. صدق الله العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أوصيني وأوصيكم بعباد الله بتقوى الله. السلام عليكم. And I invite myself, invite all of you towards piety and towards obedience to Allah, inshallah. I would like to start my presentation first with a request for Fatiha for all the Mumineen who has recently passed away, and for all the ancestors, our ancestors and your ancestors. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then I would like to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and recite a few verses of Quran. And today we are going to talk about a topic called Lessons from Karma. And my esteemed young children and young colleagues have talked wonderfully about this topic and have left a little bit for me to expand upon. However, I'll do my best to add a little bit more to what has already been presented. And hopefully we'll be brief and succinct in this matter. So I would like to start with a few verses from Quran, inshallah, and which is the Ayatul Kursi. And I think all of us are very well aware of this verse. I'm going to go with some verses from this ayat, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila an-nur. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. So it says that God is the protector and the guardian of those who acquired faith, who brought faith, who testified to faith, who became faithful. And He takes them out of ignorance and darkness and brings them into light. However, those who choose to become or to reject the message of Allah, what happens to them? They are the ones whose guardians are not Allah, but are those who transgress Allah, who defy Allah, who are against Allah, who are enemies of Allah. They are the guardians of such people. And what do they do? So how do you know if that is going on? They take them from the light into ignorance. And as a consequence, these people become the people of fire, people who go to hell, from where they will dwell always. Then in more pertinent to today's, more directly related to today's relevance, was the verse that I recited, that do not consider those who have been killed on path of Allah as dead, for they are alive and are being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are rejoicing while they are being sustained. So, today, you know, as we all know, it's the 9th of Muharram. I have chosen deliberately to expand upon few issues pertaining to lessons from Karbala, then talk about, summarize what we understand, and then talk about a child. And we will talk about Bibi Sakina, even though I know today is 9th, and traditionally, in traditional majalis, we don't talk about Bibi Sakina on the 9th. But since we are in the school and in this setting, so inshallah, we will talk about a child, and that is the child that I chose today to talk about. So we start from overview. Who was Imam Hussein? His stature and his history, as we all know that Imam Hussein is the grandson of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he is not only that, but he is someone whose name is suggested by Allah. He is the brother of our second Imam, the son of our first Imam, and the daughter of the only infallible lady in Islam, and from the progeny of our Prophet himself, which is Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidatul Nisa al-Alamin. He is a person who has a stature that when he is sitting on the shoulder of the Prophet, when the Prophet is praying, and the Prophet prolongs his sajda, he prolongs his prayer, he prolongs his prostration. And when someone tries to take him off, he's told not to, by gesture of course, appropriate. And then when at the end the people, after such a long sijda, the Prophet continues his namaz, and people say, why did you do it? He says he was asked by Allah not to do an act that may potentially hurt him. And so this is the stature. The stature is that if he sits on the Prophet while he is doing a wajib prayer, the prayer itself is prolonged by the order of Allah. And these are the attributes of Imam that are relayed by the Prophet to the people of his time. People wrote it, people knew about it. And then, of course, the famous hadith of Prophet, which is Al-Husayn minni wa ana min al-Husayn. Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn, which at that time people were astonished that why is Prophet saying that I am from him? Of course, Imam Hussein is from Prophet, that was easily understandable. But why did it happen that Prophet said that I am from Hussein? So that obviously had to come later and became true later. Who were the companions of Imam Hussein? You know, the companions of Imam Hussein, we say, there were 72 companions, some even go up to 100, 105. Anyway, they were small in number. But you know, these were the people who were ashab of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say salawat now. Whenever you listen to his name, say loud salawat. Allah loves it.
Allah.
Shabash and Sandal. So that his companions were the people who were known to be pious people. They were known leaders in performing good acts. They were leaders of their community. They were very well known, very well respected people. Most of them. Or they were very committed family members, or some of the slaves, old slaves that were made free by our Ahlul Bayt that accompanied it. What were they seeking? They were seeking, if you ask Imam, what was he seeking? He was seeking, he himself says, when people ask him, why were you going to Karbala? He said he was seeking to reform, to revert the people towards the religion of his grandfather, who was the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad. Became slow. No, remember we said that whenever we take the name, we take a loud salawat. Yeah, that's the way to go, salawat. Good job. Good job. So they were seeking to bring that religion back that was being lost. People were forgetting what religion is. People were forgetting what they need to do. What is the right thing to do? It was all becoming muddled by bad things. And everything was becoming okay. It's okay. It's also okay in Islam. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. Now, who was Yazid? Okay, who's going to tell me? Okay, one, you let this be gentleman. Who was Yazid?
Just yes, first.
Shaitan is, you know.
Yeah, so he was the... It's okay. It's okay. Good job. Good job. Okay, tell me.
He was the enemies.
Right, he was the enemies. And he was the... I know you guys know. So, what Yazid was... Yazid was the grandson of... Grandson of? Abu Sufyan. And the son of?
Muawiyah.
Right? These were the arch enemies of Islam. And Yazid, not only that, these were the family arch enemies of Islam. What did he do? He was known to do all the acts that are forbidden in Islam. He used to drink wine, he used to drink consume alcohol, he used to interact with women in ways that were inappropriate. He would go, yes. Well, later on he did that, yes. Yes. Yes, ironically, one of his wife wore hijab and he did not rip that off. And that's a different story, we never talked about it. But anyway, yes.
He's the torturer of Imam's followers.
That is true. That is true. So that's okay. We'll otherwise, we have to finish in time. So inshallah, we'll talk about this later. But all of you, good job. Fantastic job. Thank you. So his stature and background was what? He did everything that was prohibited in Islam. That was Islam said not to do, and he did. So he drank alcohol, as I said. He didn't used to offer prayers. He used to indulge into games, gambling, games that were prohibited in Islam, and so on and so forth. Okay. Who were his companions? His companions were people like Ibn Ziyad, who were cruel people. Ibn Ziyad himself says, you know, Ibn Ziyad himself says that I am a person in whose heart Allah has not given an iota, a single penny of mercy. You know, that is how he is. He was so much into this that when the person named Harith, what's the name of the person? Harith, who brought the head of Hazrat Muslim's children into a tray and boasted that, look, I did what you, I brought you this. When Ibn Ziyad looks at them, says, man, these were beautiful children, why did you have to kill them? I didn't ask you to specifically kill them. Why did you kill them? So he said, I killed them because you're going to pay me. You're going to pay me well. You'll be happy. So he was so jealous of that person that how come this person is more cruel than me? More cruel than me. How can it be? So he asked, you know, what were the last words of these children? So to cut story short, Harith says that they said, oh Allah, you are the one who will announce justice between us and this person who is killing us. So Ibn Ziyad says, okay, Allah has heard their prayer. And I am going to kill you. And eventually he kills the person who martyred the children of Hazrat Muslim Ibn Abid, who was the ambassador of Imam Hussein in Kufa. Okay? So the people who were companion of Yazid, they were people who competed in how cruel can one be from one another. So they wanted to compete who can be worse than other. You know what we teach here? Who can be better? Who can do good? Instead they competed who can be worse than the other. So what were they seeking? They were seeking that kind of, to implement this kind of mentality and by rule the people by this kind of mentality. So what was the difference between the words of Yazid Lanatullah alayhi and Imam alayhi wa sallam? Right? What was the difference between Imam and his companions and Yazid and those who are Yazidis? So, Yazidis wanted to take, snatch away. Even if it did not belong to them, they wanted to take it by force. By hook or by crook, as they say in English. Imam instead was insisting on getting something that belonged to him. That he was the true owner of it. So that's one. Second, Yazidis were the people who were looking for material gains. Right? They were looking for to gain something. If they will be in power, what will they gain? They will gain money. They will have more horses, more slaves to work for them, etc. They were looking for material things. And what is the people of Imam were looking? Were they looking for any such thing? No, right? They were not looking for any such thing. And they wanted everybody to be good. They wanted everybody to not suffer. And they did not want to take away the belonging of other people. Okay? So, Yazidis people, what did they want? They wanted bad things to propagate in society. They wanted in the society to happen what? You know, they should not care about each other. They should only care about money. They should not care about truth. Those kind of things. Okay? And what did we... Okay, you'll pay attention to me. Right? Right, you'll pay attention to me. Please, please. For a few more minutes. Okay? Good job. Good job. Okay. So, they wanted to propagate good things. Right? They wanted to propagate, do what? To spread what? Good things. Then, Yazidi wanted to stop from good, and they wanted to kill people, to put them into chains, to put them in jail, for no reason, and Imam wanted otherwise. Yazidis wanted to rule by fear. They wanted to create fear so that they rule. And Imam, what did Imam and companion wanted? His companions? They wanted rule out of love. That you should love your ruler. Your ruler should be of a person that is deserving of love, compassion, kindness, not fear, cruelty, and oppression. Okay? So, Imam Hussein, and you know what? Have you ever seen a thief come to you and say, "Oh, I am thief"? Has anybody said that? Has anybody known that?
Yeah.
No. Thief never comes to you and says that I am thief. They never do that. They never do that. Okay? They always say, "Oh, I am a good person. I am not a thief. What I do is right. It is mine. I just took it. It was mine in any case. I'm not a thief." So they lie. They try to deceive you. They try to make a fool out of you. They think you are not smart. But all of you are, inshallah, smart. Right? And you will not be deceived by this. Nobody can make a fool out of you. You know, so Yazid also said, Yazid did not say that he was doing something evil. He never claimed that he was doing something bad. Never said that. He said whatever he was doing was good. He insisted that this was a good thing to do. Not that we believe in it. Of course I don't believe in it. That's why I say, Yazid, la'natullah alayh, may curse of Allah fall on him. Having said that, Yazid did not say that. Yazid said, I am doing good, come and help me. And if you help me, I'll give you money, I'll give you land. If you don't come, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to put you in jail, I'll kill you, I'll torture your family, right? I'll put your children in chains, etc., etc., etc. Okay? But they said, all of them said, you know, I want to free you. Yazid said, I want to free you. And on the other hand, Imam also said that I am going to free you. Right? Yazid propaganda was what? I am going to free you. From the rule of the family of Prophet. I am going to free you from being judged all the time. This was his agenda. Of course, that is not. But Imam Hussein's agenda was what? That he said he's leading towards true freedom. So whenever there is a bad person, whenever there is a person who is trying to take something from you, he's not going to come to you and say, "Oh, I'm a bad person, so don't follow me. But you have to do this." No, that's not how they do it. They try to make a fool out of you. So who is going to be paying attention and who's going to act like smart people here? How many of you? All of you. Good job. You guys are going to pay attention to this, right? Right. So that nobody makes a fool out of you. Good job. Good job. Very good. So many people were confused by the propaganda of Yazid and Muawiyah and Abu Sufyan. And many people were intimidated, put in jail. Some people were taken away and killed. Some people's family were taken hostage. By every means possible, you know, bribery. He bribed people, bought people, gave them lands, or tortured them into submission. What did Imam Hussein do? What did Imam Hussein do? Imam Hussein did nothing of this. He says, "You know what? You are free to come with me. If you don't want to come with me, don't come with me. Anybody who wants to come with me should come with me out of love. Out of love for Allah. Out of love for doing the right thing. Out of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Right? Not because I am going to give them money. No. Not because I'm going to torture them. No. Not because I'm going to take anybody to jail or, you know, hurt anybody's child. No. That's not what Imam said. Imam said, come and fight for the right thing, stand up for the right thing, because you believe in it. Because that's the right way to go. That's the right thing to do. Right? So you see the difference? You see the difference? Those who are true people, how they call you. And those who are not true people, how they try to make a fool out of you. A true person will not try to bribe you. Will not try to hurt you. Will not try to harm you when they invite you towards doing good. But a bad person, if you don't help them, if you don't work for them, they will try to hurt you. They will try to harm you. They will try to cause you problems. They will take away things from you. So that's how you differentiate. Okay, you will differentiate. You will remember that? You will remember that? Yes? Yes? Good job. Remember that. So, a victory for Imam Hussein would be a victory for what? A victory for Imam Hussein would be victory for Allah, victory for Islam, victory for justice, victory for doing good, right? Victory for against doing bad, against hurting people, against corrupting, right? And it will be defeat, or it will stand for what? Defeat of Yazid, right? Right? A victory for Imam Hussein. So in short, what? Imam's victory means victory of truth, victory of Allah, victory of Islam, true freedom and true peace. Now what will the victory, if Yazid wins the battle, what would it mean? What would it mean? The meaning for Yazid? Yes. Behind you, Ahmed.
If the Yazid army wins, then Islam won't be today.
Right. If, but on the other hand, there are two ways of victory. One is the military victory, the other is the victory which is more than military victory. So Imam Hussein got the victory which was more than the battlefield victory. He also got the battlefield victory because he achieved his objectives. But if the Yazid wins, what happens? If Yazid wins, then people will have to follow the values of Yazid. What are they? Cruelty, hitting people for no reason, putting them in jail, you know, hurting them, taking them away, right? Causing them problems, not allowing people to do the right thing. You know, one of these days, the father of Yazid, you know, in his rule, at that, what is today? What day is today? Who's going to tell me? Today is Wednesday. Wednesday. Right, good job. In the time of Banu Umayyah, the salah, the prayer of Friday, was prayed on a Wednesday. Yeah, that's what they did. So they were trying to ridicule Islam and undermine Islam. That is what used to happen. Okay? So if Yazid you will win, then these kind of things will happen. Who would like that thing to happen? Anybody here would like that thing to happen?
No.
No, right? Because we are all good Muslims, right? And if anybody tries to do that, will we allow it to?
No.
No. And we will stand up against it, right?
Yes.
We will protest against it, right?
Yes.
Good job. Remember that, right? Right. So Imam's slogan, what was Imam's slogan? You know, one of the famous slogan of Imam is what? Hayhat minnat dillah. Who's going to say it with me? Hayhat minnat dillah. Hayhat minnat dillah. Let's do it and say it one more time. Hayhat minnat dillah. Hayhat minnat dillah. Hayhat minnat dillah. What does it mean? We will never be disgraced. We will never be dishonored. Right? Good job. Good job. We will never be dishonored. We will never be disgraced. We will stand up for what is right. Because how does Imam define disgrace? Imam defines disgrace if we are disobedient to Allah. If we are not obeying Allah. If we are doing things that Allah does not want us to do. Right? Especially, and if we are hurting people, if we are harming people, if we are not loving them, if we are not friends to them, right? Then it is not nice. Right? So we will stand for it. If anybody wants us to act against this, we will not surrender. Because doing all of those is a good thing. Loving is good. Friendship is good. Right? Very good. Very good. So, that was the message of Imam. Right? One of the messages. Imam gave many messages. You know, we can, if we start talking about this, we will talk for hours. But we don't want to talk so long. We all have to do other things also today. So, but if you remember this, that you will not be listening. So if you are following the word for Allah, right? And people start making fun of you, does it matter? Does it mean you are disgraced? Does it mean you... So somebody is wearing a scarf, somebody is doing a hijab, right? Like my so many young sisters do, right? And they are doing hijab and... Or my... So you know, you young people, when you grow up, you're keeping beard, right? And people start ridiculing you. They say, oh, look at this person, he's so bad. He is so conservative. You are so conservative. You know, you don't do makeup. You don't do anything. You do hijab. And you keep beard, right? Well, does it mean it is a, disgrace?
No.
Why? Because Allah loves it. Because Allah loves it. And the true disgrace comes when Allah doesn't love it. If Allah doesn't love it, then that's a true disgrace. And we do not, what do we say? What did Imam Hussain say? Remember this. Whenever somebody says this to you, you remember this. Imam said, Hayhat minnat dillah. What did he say?
Hayhat
minnat dillah. Disgrace is far away from us. We will never be disgraced. We will never be disgraced. We will stand up for what Allah wants. So inshallah, as you grow, you will remember this, right? You will remember this? You will remember this? All of you?
Yes.
Allah will ask you, right? Today on a Wednesday, not a Friday, a Wednesday, 9th of Muharram, 15th of December, a guy came You know, he was talking to you, and you said, hayhat, all of you said, hayhat minnal dhillah, and you promised that whenever somebody will try to make fun of you for following Allah, you will not listen to them. You will stand up for Allah, and you will not feel disgraced, and you will feel honored, right? That you are following Allah, remember? Yes? You will make Allah happy. Right? And if those who like Allah are happy with you, that's great. If they are not, too bad. Oops. Right? Okay. Then, because here, you know, when you go out, everybody says, oh, we are free. We are free to do this. We are free to do that. We are free. Everybody is free. Right? We are free so we can do everything. Just remember one thing. Okay, everybody say with me.
Freedom
for Allah.
For Allah.
Freedom
for Allah.
Allah.
For Allah.
This is what we believe in.
We believe in
freedom for Allah. Right? Meaning we obey Allah and therefore become free. We are free then. Because we only obey one, which is Allah. Finished. And then we are free. Right?
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about anything else. Right? Right. Good job. So then, but then, repeat after me. What we don't do, we don't want freedom from Allah. We don't want freedom from Allah. Okay? We don't want freedom from Allah. Right? Right, so freedom from Allah we don't want. We don't like.
Freedom
from Allah we don't want. We don't like. Okay? Why? Because who was free from Allah, the first one? Who was the first one who was free from Allah? Who chose to become free from Allah? Who was? Shaitan, Satan. Satan was the first one who chose to become free from Allah. He made his own choice. He became free from Allah. Right? Right. And we do not want such freedom. So we don't want to lie. We don't want to deceive. We don't want to go out without covering our head. We don't want to go without having a beard. We want to be modest. We want to do good things. We don't want to cheat. We don't want to take anybody else's money. We want to be kind to each other. We want to like each other. We would not like to harm each other. If somebody is doing something bad, we would like to tell them not to do this. Do something good, right? Those kind of things. We want freedom for Allah. Right? So, what do we want? Freedom?
For Allah.
What do we don't? What we don't want is?
Freedom
from Allah. Good job. Remember this, okay? Remember. If somebody is talking about freedom, always ask yourself, is this freedom for Allah or is this freedom from Allah? If this is freedom from Allah, don't take, that's not freedom. That's actually slavery. Okay? And if it is freedom for Allah, then it's not slavery, it's freedom. Okay? Remember that. Good job. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you a story about Imam Hussain a little bit. Okay? A little bit, and then we go to move forward. Okay. Once a Bedouin came, what a Bedouin is? People who used to live in desert, right? He came to Imam Hussain. Okay, listen to you guys. Okay, listen guys. Okay? Here. Listen to me. Okay. So, then what happened, then he came and then said, what is the best thing to do? Oh, who's gonna listen to me? Okay, good job. No, everybody's gonna listen to me. Good job. Okay. So, he said, what's the best thing to do? Imam said, believe in God. Believe in Allah is the best thing to do. Then the person asked again, well, what is the best means of deliverance from destruction? How can I avoid hell? And Imam said, trust in God. If you trust in God, you will avoid hell. Then he says, well, if he cannot, what is the best ornament? What is the best thing for me to wear? He says, Say salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Good job. And says, what is the best thing for me to have? Imam says, knowledge with intelligence. Knowledge with intelligence. Then they said, well, if I don't have it, then what? Then Imam said, wealth with generosity. The person says, well, if I don't have that, then what? Then Imam said, well, then poverty with patience. And Imam said, and the person said, well, even if I don't have that, Imam said, then ask that the lightning strikes you and you die. Meaning, you have to do something of all of the above. Okay. Which means what Imam said, that one should always be grateful and to Allah for what he has and try to make do with whatever they have and not be greedy about things. And trust Allah. All of us trust Allah? Yes? Good job. The Imam loves you, or he already loves you. You know? Okay. So, now remember, today is the 9th of Muharram. Right? Today is the 9th of Muharram. It's not a day to have fun. In general, it's not a day to have fun. You can talk about things with each other. You should. I'm not saying that you should keep crying all the time. Whoever feels like, whatever feels like. But this is in general not a day to have fun. Right? It's not a day to play video games. It's not a day to play, you know, watch any type of cartoons, to watch any type of TV. Well, we should not do this in any case, but today is not the day specifically for that. Okay? And today is not the day to watch movies, right? To watch Disney, to watch Nickelodeon. Today is not the day. It's not that day. Okay? It's a day when Imam has taken one day off. Okay? One day off. Today, Yazid wanted to do the battle today. But Imam said, no, one more day for us to pray. Specifically. Right? So Imam asked for one more day. And tomorrow is the day of calamity. It's reaching the time of calamity. And as you know, our Imam had many children. Right? Sons and daughters. One of his daughter, who was young, we don't know exact her age. Some say 7, some say 9, some say 3, some say 4, some say 5. But we know she was a very young daughter of Imam Hussain. And the history disputes her exact age. But she was very young, we know. Her name was Ruqayya, or we also know her as Sukayya. Right? We also know her as Sukayna. You know, Sukayna was very young. And she was very young. You know, like one of these young daughters who are sitting here. She was young. And Imam Hussain used to love her. She was young, you know. She was the baby of the house. Everybody used to love her. And Imam used to tell her stories at night time. About the father, about the grandfather, about the cousins, about her uncle, about her great-grandfather, and so on and so forth. Right? And she used to listen to them. Imam loved this daughter. And at that time, Imam took this daughter when Imam went to Karbala. This daughter accompanied him to Karbala. She could not stay away from Imam. She loved him so much. She could not stay away from him. So Imam took him to Karbala. Okay? Now remember, Karbala is a desert. And it was a desert place at that time. And at the time, after a while, on the 7th of Muharram, everybody knows that the water was stopped. Water was stopped by the Yazid people on the 7th of Muharram. Okay? And then what happened after 7th of Muharram? That water was stopped, people started becoming thirsty. They started becoming thirsty. And whenever they were starting becoming thirsty, they started saying what? We are thirsty. We are thirsty. Al-Atash. We are thirst. We need water. They were started to want water. But do you know that even the youngest of the young children, right? Okay, so everybody listen to me. Not anybody else. Listen to me. At that time, when they were doing this, right? When the Karbala was happening, what happened? No child said that, oh, father, oh, imam, oh, my uncle, oh, cousin, let's go to the Yazid camp, do whatever they say for now, and get me some water or food to eat. No? You see, these were children who understood the meaning of Hayhat Minnat Lillah. That's what I told you. Right? These children knew the meaning of Hayhat Minnat Lillah. They were hungry, they were thirsty, and they were in grief, they were in pain. But nobody said, oh, go and I want it no matter what. No. They understood that Allah is great. We have to honor the word of Allah. Right? That is what they understood. And Bibi Sakina, being so young, still did not say any such thing. Did not make any such demand from our seniors or from our elders. You see, what do we learn? We learn that these children practiced Hayhat Minnat Lillah. Right? Many of our adults can't. And inshallah we will, if there was a time. And we will prepare ourselves for that. So, everybody starts becoming thirsty. Everybody starts becoming thirsty. Then, 3 days go by, one after the other. People are thirsty. Here and there, according to some history, some water came. And then, after some water came, and people were, everybody, don't worry about him, he's good, he's great, he's doing his job. You pay attention to me right now, okay? Don't worry about him, he's great. So what happened then? Then people started becoming thirsty. Days going by, they are still thirsty, they are not getting anything to eat. The enemy has surrounded them, they are taunting them. They are saying you are on the wrong path. And you know, these are very few people. Imagine there were 500,000 people surrounding this mosque. Everybody saying, you people are wrong. You people are wrong. You people are wrong. See how difficult it is to stand and hold your belief? Because many a times what happens, when so many people start saying that people are wrong, what happens? What happens then? People start thinking that maybe they are wrong. Maybe they are truly wrong. Even though that they are right. Okay? So that's that. So these children did not do that. These children stayed firm. They did not suffer disgrace. Then what happened? Time went by. The 10th of Muharram comes. These children are thirsty. Even more thirsty, and they are seeing that people are dying. And now, Bibi Sakina, this young child, sees what? That my brother died, my cousin died, my companions died, my Aula Muhammad died, Hazrat Qasim got martyred, Hazrat Akbar got martyred, and she is now in pain, and she is in grief, she is mourning. Imagine what will happen if all of our family members die. If our father died, our brother died, our people died, what will happen? We will be in pain, we will be in grief, we'll be like that? No. No. And then what happened? And they were being killed, and people were being taunted. The enemy was teasing her all the time. And it is at that time when Hazrat Abbas, who was a beloved uncle of Hazrat Sakina, seeks the permission of who? Of Imam Hussain. He says, you don't allow me to go and fight, at least allow me to go and get some water for Sakina. So Imam says, okay, go and get some water for Sakina. Okay? So Hazrat Abbas goes, and I'm not going to do the majlis of Hazrat Abbas here, but he goes, he fights, reaches the water, gets the water, and while coming back, is martyred. Now imagine, the flag is coming, Imam is bringing the flag, Sakina is seeing, flag is coming, uncle is coming back, My water is here finally. He brings the children towards herself, says, you know, my uncle is coming back. We'll finally have some water. And then the flag comes, Imam comes, but uncle doesn't come. Uncle says, don't take me back to the camp. I cannot face the women. I cannot face Sakina. Don't take me back. You leave me alone here. I want to die here. I want to be buried here. Don't take me to the camp. You know, Sakina loved her uncle. And at that time, when that happened, Sakina stopped asking for water. She saw that happen. Her beloved uncle went so brave, so mighty, and he didn't come back. Only the flag came back. She stopped asking. It is said that after that, Sakina did not ask for water. This is the same Sakina. Sakina, who was loved by Imam Hussein, but did not ask for water, stood up for the principles of Imam. Ashur goes further. Imam Hussein dies. And she is made by the enemy to look at the head of her beloved father, Imam Hussein. Imagine what went on her. A daughter who sees the head of her father only, on the head of a spear. On the head of a spear. These were so cruel people. These were so cruel people. You see how cruel these people were. And then, when they come and torch the camps, the same Sakina, after the permission was given by Imam, and goes out, gets beaten up by the people of Yazid. They beat her. Such a young child, they beat her. They don't have any mercy on her. You see, cruelty. Remember, I told you, they were cruel people. So imagine, young child, they were beaten. Snatch the earrings from her ear. Make her bleed. Can you believe that? A child who lost her father, who lost her uncle, who lost her brother, who lost her cousins. This is what would happen. And do you know that after the Shama, this all happened, and the Shama Ghariba comes. When the evening time came and the wife of Hur brought some food and water, when everybody was killed, all the camps were torched, they were burnt, and the Ahlul Bayt had no place to go. When the water comes to Sakina, because she was the youngest at that time, it was given to her. You see, now look at the sister. Look at the sister and how a sister should be for brother. Right? She runs. And they say, where are you going? She says, I am not the youngest. The youngest is her husband. Where is he? So I can give him some water. Can you believe that? This is his sister. In the time when she is thirsty, she is sad, she is hungry, her father is dead, her uncles are dead, her brothers are dead, cousins are dead, and yet she remembers to do the right thing. She's taking, even though she needs to, oh, let me drink some, then I will take it. No. She takes it too, and says, where is Ali Asghar? I want to get it. And then finds out that Ali Asghar is no more. Ali Asghar is no more. This, do you know, if you go to Karbala, and there is a route from Karbala to where you go to Kufa. There used to be, and I'm sure, and I hope they are still preserved. I've been there for a while. There used to be places where, you know, these, when the caravan is started, when they took the women prisoner, they would chain them from camels, and they would not attach their children to them. So the children would hold on to the mother like this, you know, children would grip to the mother. And as the camel would start walking, these children would fall from the camel. And they would die in the heat, in the desert, in the sand. So there were small graves of those children. And you can still see, you know, children like you, your age, younger than your age, younger than your age. This is how cruel these people were, that these children were killed in front of their mothers. Their mothers could not do anything because they were chained. This is how this happened. This young lady eventually is taken to Hazrat Sakina, is taken to prison. She is crying there all the time. She remembers her father. She loved her father. She is crying there. crying so much that other people in the from the prison are now starting to ask question, why is this young child in prison? Why is this young child crying? So Yazid, either out of cruelty or either of some other reason or either pressure, for one reason or another, sends the head of Imam Hussain, it is said, to her. So she looks at it, she cries, but she gets some solace as well because she looked at the face of her father. This is how. And it is said that she used to, there was a very small window where they were all kept, made captives. If anybody of you go to Syria, you can go, you should go and see the place. And from there, it is said that what the birds used to come there. And this young girl used to see birds and used to say, they are free. They are free to go, I am not free, I am here captive. I want to be free. And her freedom was not there. This young girl was put into dungeon, was put in prison. So that's that. So that is that. And one of these nights, this daughter was looking at the window, and they say that one morning she did not wake up. She died in the prison. She died in the prison, and she is buried there. Her majlis happened there. Last rites were made by Imam, and that's how it happened. This is a brief version of Bibi Sakina. So Bibi Sakina is the emblem for children, is the motto for children. You should remember that such a young child could endure so much and stood up for right thing and did not surrender, did not seek disgrace, and stood up for Allah and became the companion of Imam. So what do we learn from Karbala? We learn that to stand up, to love Allah, to trust Allah, to obey Allah, to learn what is true freedom and what this is true freedom. We learn the true freedom. And we learn that victory is not necessarily that other side got killed. And so we became victory. That's what happened. Yazid army killed everybody on the Imam Hussain side. But Imam Hussain won. Because today, we curse Yazid. Nobody likes to be called Yazid. And everybody likes to be associated with Imam Hussain and carry on his message. In the Quran it says, "Hal unabbiukum an tanazzalat shayatin." Should I tell you? Upon whom? Should I inform you? Should I give you the news? Upon whom the shayateens, the satans, descend? And then Quran describes some other things. And in the end, in this Surah Shura, he says, then سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيُّمُنْ قَلِبًا يَقْلِبُونَ. And those, you know, they who act unjustly shall know to what final place of turning they shall turn back. Whatever they have said will turn back upon them. O Allah, allow us to become true followers of Imam Hussain. O Allah, allow us to remember the meaning of Hayhat Minna Zilla, the slogan of Imam Hussain. O Allah, allow us and grant us and bless us to remember the message of Imam Hussain. To try to live our lives according to Imam Hussain or to according to his companions. Or and be, when we are children, be like the children of Imam Hussain and his companions. When we are adult, become like adults who were the companions of Imam Hussain. And when we are elderly, we should be like elderly companions of Imam Hussain. Inshallah. Right? O Allah, those who are in grief, relieve their grief. Say La ilaha illallah. Because Allah, if the children are young, He will accept your prayer soon. Okay, your Ameen is very powerful. Okay? O Allah, those who are in misery, remove their misery. O Allah, those who are oppressed, remove their oppression. O Allah, those who are unjustly in jails, release them from jail. O Allah, those who are in debt, relieve them from debt. O Allah, those who are sick, grant them with health. For Allah, hoist the flag of Islam high, and inshallah, protect the institution of Wilaya and our Maharaja, inshallah. And allow us to be among the companions and friends and the aid of our Imam, who will come with the, in the companionship of Jesus. Okay. آخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وما على إلا الله